Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstrom.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we just watched Wynonna Earp, Season 3, Episode 3, Colder Weather. Raise your hand if you cried.
All of our hands are like, up.
I know that's not great for podcasting, but we literally did just all physically raise our hands. I bet some of our listeners out there also just physically raise their hands because that's the kind of podcast listener I am. I play along.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we all have little piles of Kleenex beside us.
Yeah. Yep. My eye makeup is gone. Mm-hmm.
No, it's just actually all streaky all over your face.
Still there.
Yep. It looked like that time Wynonna got marked by the creepy cult guy.
Yes. It's pretty much like that. Yep. That's what she looks like, listeners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been through it. No surprise. We were interested in seeing how the gang was going to deal with the fallout of losing Dolls. And now we've seen it. And we went through it with them. We were really, really pissed at Wynonna for a while.
Oh, so.
For sure.
You know what, though? I kind of expected it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Knowing her, knowing that she can get a little selfish and a little in her own head. And I wasn't sure. Wasn't sure if she'd take it out on Jeremy or who would get the brunt of it. Mm-hmm. I hated that it was Jeremy.
Yes.
I hated it so much.
Kirsten was scolding the screen.
Oh, I was finger pointing and like, not okay.
Mm-hmm. But she was, I appreciate that they did a really nice balance between showing Wynonna's grief and God, Melanie Scrofano just nailed it. Mm-hmm. Like she was so great. And then also you eventually get the scene between her and Nicole where Nicole is like, you know, you're not the only one that lost him. So, you know, you don't get to have all of the grief. So you get both sides of it. You get to see, you know, the character who truly loved him breaking down and just sort of, you know, receding into herself for the beginning of the episode and just getting drunk and getting angry and then getting told.
Yeah.
Basically.
We all cheered for Nicole.
Did. And I like that it was Nicole that did it because it could have easily been Waverly. Mm-hmm. But I think it shows the evolution of their relationship and how she's become more than just Waverly's girlfriend. She's a part of the team. She's a part of the family. And they can have those honest conversations, you know, like that family can have where you can tell someone you're being an asshole.
Mm-hmm. And I think Jeremy as a character, he was so good about it. Where I think he 100% understood what was happening. It hurt him. And you could see that it hurt him, but he also was respectful of what he felt. I think what he felt she needed was space from him. Mm-hmm. And and then, but it was also made that whole scene at the very end where I'm like, he put his head on her shoulder and she pulled him in and I'm like going to cry about it. Yeah, it's like, oh God. But that made that moment really poignant and also, you know, that evolution of her grief through that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Poor Jeremy. And the moment where I think it was Nicole said that Jeremy was doing an autopsy on Dolson, we were all like, what?
Oh, God.
Because, no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if he needed to have an autopsy, which I'm glad that he didn't, the idea of having...
You have to do an autopsy on your friend.
Oh, can you imagine?
That seems horrible.
Made me miss creepy Twizzler guy for like 2 seconds. Where was he?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, this was a rough one. And I'm glad that they sort of let us take a breath because there wasn't an awful lot in terms of plot and import, you know?
No, just a couple jacked up revenants.
Yep. And then, you know, and we do get, you know, the couple new characters, the one brand new character, Quinn. And then we find out who Kate is. So both of those things, well, certainly the Kate thing is going to move us along. And I think the Quinn thing is because we saw him in the trailer for season 3. But at least we think that was him. It's hard to tell.
I was like, I don't know. I wasn't paying close
enough
attention,
to be honest.
I vaguely
remember Wynonna kissing a blondish dude.
Yeah, so it could have been
him.
That
could be the other new character who we haven't seen yet. But I know the actor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They look similar enough. She could be kissing either of them.
Interchangeable white dudes.
I know. It's like, yes. They all sort of look the same, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So that was interesting. Emily was correct. We did get a little more information about Dolph's backstory this season, and it was after his death.
Yeah.
Well, and Quinn said he was running away 6 times in 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then he said later in the episode that he was a kid when that happened. So he's being tested on and experimented on when he was a kid.
Yeah. Yep. Which Jeremy has alluded to, that they both were snatched up as children.
Yeah. And Jeremy, you know, says that Black Badge did stuff to me too. And we still didn't get any specifics about that. Whatever it was, it did not make him immune to staples in the thigh.
Not with his good stapler.
Yeah, that was bad things with my nice good stapler. Quinn was very confusing to me because he seemed like he was supposed to be good. But I think, again, it's like a good person possibly dealing with grief and going off the deep end.
Yeah. And as much as I hated seeing him staple Jeremy in the leg, like later on, he got a little more physical with him and had the gun out. But initially, he was just stapling his leg. Like, he could have done a lot worse had he wanted to initially. Mm-hmm. So I think
that's true. The fact that he only let himself go that far and then was stopped before anything worse happened because he had a knife, which he pulled out to kind of come
and he's grieving too, right? Like, you could tell there were similarities between him and Wynonna in the way they deal with things. And
And I think it's a narrative way for Wynonna to face what she might have like. She was like kind of calling out like, Bolshar, come here, I want to go after you, I want to do this.
Yeah,
but it was like telling someone else, you know, you got to calm down, going in revenge isn't going to help you. She's saying all these things that someone else probably would have needed to say to her otherwise.
Totally.
So it's kind of like a way for her to realize her first instinct probably isn't going to be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes when you see yourself reflected that way and have to say all of those things to somebody else, it's actually a lot more effective than it would be for somebody else having to tell you. And the fact that she just came from Nicole sort of opening her eyes to, you know, the tough love to help her help her come out of it, I think was all good timing that worked out really well. But I appreciate the fact that at the end she was very protective of her team and the Ghost River Triangle when she told Quinn, you know, if you come back here for any other reason than to tell us that you've defeated Black Badge and burned up our blood contracts. Would she say something about, I'll make the tattoo
on his make hand go up his ass or something? Yes.
Yeah, be moved to his ass. So, I don't know.
Something about his ass.
Tattoo related ass threat.
Yep. Just your usual tattoo related ass threat.
You know, typical day in purgatory.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we had Dolls leaving a note for Wynonna, which then got stolen.
Yeah, by a smoking hot vampire with a perfect purple pout.
Yeah, her outfit was like very beautiful.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, and you know, every once in a while we touch on styling. I also want to touch on her hair. You know, it sucks that our main black character died, but the fact that this other black character who has come in has her hair styled in an afro, that's a really big deal, and that's a thing that I don't think people talk about enough. That it's an important representational thing for little black girl. Well, actually, okay, little girls shouldn't be watching this show, let's be perfectly honest.
I'm trying to think of the appropriate age. They don't say the F word
like
much.
Late teens?
Yeah. Like 13? Yep. I'm not really sure what kids are doing these days, but I feel like a 13-year-old would probably be okay.
My 13-year-old niece, I could see her watching it. In fact, I think I told her to, so sure.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Saskia.
But yeah, I thought that was great. And
it is good.
She is pretty smoking hot, and her outfits are delightful.
Oh, all of that is great, but she's married to Doc.
Yeah. I know. Like,
I am having.
Does everybody have a secret wife?
Exactly.
I am having a little trouble. Like, this episode, it had moments of lightness and moments of not really lightness, but laughter at least, where the characters were joking with each other. And I think they tried to make some of the moments with her be that way, and for me those moments fell flat because we don't know her as a character. So I'm not willing to sort of smile and laugh with her even when she's being, you know, objectively adorable and saying things that are objectively funny. My heart could not go to that place yet with her as a character, so those moments didn't particularly work for me. But I'm very invested in finding out, you know, how the story unravels with her and Doc.
Yeah, it's a tough intro for her, right?
Yep.
To come in. Like, I know she was in the season opener as well, but it was a totally different mood and theme. And this was such a heavy, and like if Doc was going to reach out to anyone for comfort, I didn't want it to be her.
Yeah. But it kind of makes sense. Yep. They're already married. Mm-hmm. He probably wants to, he's very careful about giving Winona her space.
That's true.
And he has frequently in the past retreated when he perhaps shouldn't have or didn't need to. So it does sort of fall in line with his character.
It does.
I also know the actress from her other show, Frankie Drake, which is a Canadian show. So I feel like I really love her because of that. It's a short, I'm like, that's okay. She's all right.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm glad.
I'm having a different reaction to her just because I'm familiar with the actress.
I did enjoy Waverly slightly drunkenly calling her out.
Yes.
And like trying to tip over the table.
Yes.
And,
like, not being able to
move
it.
Throw her stuff around. And what did she call her? She called her something that was so ridiculous.
Tacky.
Something boots one or something.
Oh, I don't remember what it was.
It was brilliant. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think Purple was in there too.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that was that scene was great. And her tarot cards and just like smushing them off the table and then making, I don't even know what the sound was, but she's like, hey, like there, see what I just did. But she, you know, she made it work. Good for you. Way really good for you. Yep. I have to say that the sort of hopeless romantic in me is super conflicted now because, you know, I totally ship Winona and Doc. However, at the end, when you get that scene between Doc and Kate and she's talking about how Wyatt never gave up looking for you and I thought you were dead, and then at the very end Wyatt told me the truth that you know that basically he had been granted immortality somehow, and she's like, I knew what I had to do, and Doc says, what's that? And she said, whatever it takes. So basically, she probably went out and became a vampire so that she could continue to live forever, so that she could someday find her true love. I mean, maybe she's a liar and none of that's true.
I thought that, but then I was like, how long did Wyatt live? Because she's still pretty young and contemporary age. So then I was suspicious that she waited that long. So
yeah, because she made it sound like in his deathbed, he was like, by the way, Doc's alive.
Yeah, so it's like, was that...
Of course, how
there, I don't know, because he might have just, it might have only been a few years. Who knows? People and, did not live that long.
Maybe she was like 12 when she married Doc.
It's true.
Oh, God.
It's true. That is gross, but true.
Yeah. That is probably historically accurate.
Now we're all grossed out.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I should have said 13. That wouldn't
have
been
that
much,
so much better.
At least it had the word 16. 16. Let's
all
say
bad.
16.
It's all bad.
But yeah, so that I was trying to do math in my head, which we all know works really well in this show. But I'm also willing to let that fly if it is the case and not worry about it. But that's just where my brain went.
Yeah. But hey, you know, maybe that is a perfect flaw in what she says. And, you know, Doc does say we were always terrible
together.
Yeah, something like that.
But he wasn't the greatest guy back then. So... Mm-hmm. He's different now. Maybe I don't know. I still don't like
maybe
her.
Maybe they just needed goodbye sex. That's all.
And then she's going to go away and we'll never see her
grief
again.
Grief sex is a thing. So
it is. Yeah.
True.
I was waiting for some, like, I was like, there's got to be some of that in this episode. I wasn't sure who. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe Way Hot, but you know.
No. Instead, we actually get a really cute scene, which was one of my favorites in this episode, with Winona and Waverly in lawn chairs and parkas and blankets in front of
and
fire.
Earmuffs.
Yes. Just, you know.
Fire outside at 20 below. Because that's what we all do at 20 below. Maybe 10 people, not 20.
Yeah, not 20. Then we like the fire in the house, in the fireplace.
And we're probably complaining.
Yep. Although she could have been exaggerating.
It's
Maybe it really was only minus 10.
Yeah, we also do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the winter.
Sometimes. But yet they're just their banter back and forth and talking about, you know, have you decided what you want done when you go where? Super cute. And, you know, don't ask if Nicole can come with. Okay, Nicole can be buried with this. She wants to be eaten by vultures and then pooped out again. Like, it just, that whole exchange was
great.
So perfectly the Earp sisters, you know?
Well, and that's what happens too when you're grieving, is you're with your family and your people, and you do kind of go back and forth between, like, you're crying and then that scene where Waverly's giggling hysterically and then you're making like
sandwiches.
Jokes, and then you're kind of angry, and then you're kind of crying again, and then you're joking again, like,
and then you're killing a bunch of revenants.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then
I do that. That's totally what happened at the last family funeral. But yeah. That does feel real. It doesn't yes. feel that you have to be sad the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. And we also get to see Nedley, who has been standing guard in the morgue.
God bless you, Nedley.
I know. That was actually the first moment that I started to tear up was when I saw Nedley, the actor who plays him. Like he was just great in that scene.
I started tearing up when Doc came to find Winona shooting at the targets.
Aww.
And they had that moment. Mm-hmm. And then she said something really funny and it like briefly snapped me up and I was like, oh, blink, I'm okay.
And then he kept calling her love.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then I started hugging her again. And like, oh, mm-hmm. love this, love that. I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The moment where I truly lost it though was, of course, I'm a sucker for well-placed music. And the song that they had playing over the grave scene mm-hmm. just really tugged at my heartstrings. And the actual moment, though, where I lost my cool, it wasn't the mug. It was when Nicole saluted.
Oh,
that's what did it to me. I just like, yeah, just that was the real waterworks. And then the mug just made it worse.
Yeah. Right. See, to me, I was mm-hmm. like, they're putting stuff down. I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. And then it's the mug. Because I was looking for Nedley to be drinking out of the mug.
I know.
It's like, no, there it is.
But yeah. That is sweet and appropriate.
And then, really and then when Jeremy and Winona were hugging, that just...
Yeah.
Then all the Kleenexes would come out.
I would like to, though, make a public service, not announcement, request to anyone who is making a television show in the future where you've got a scene like that.
Yeah.
That's just super touching and there's music and it's swelling. If your television show is the kind of show that's going to have commercial breaks in it, and I understand that like we need advertisers in order to mm-hmm. be able to make the show. So I'm not going to say boo to commercial breaks. I am going to say, please build your scene so that there is a moment or two or three or six, like that there's some cushion so that when it cuts to the commercial, it's not like literally in the middle of a note of the song and it's a crash cut to, I don't remember, was it a laxative commercial or
it was in there, but
it was
yeah,
a slap, it's like in a the little face is what it was.
Like a slap.
It was, yeah, so that was very rough emotionally. Jarring. And it completely threw us out of the story, like literally on the screen. Yeah. So that was a little tough. And which is kind of hilarious because before the episode started, we were talking about how great the advertising works because Annette went and had Dairy Queen.
I did. I had to go get a dip cone because the Dairy Queen advertisements last time and now.
Yep.
We're trolling me hard all week.
I know, right?
I need a peanut buster parfait.
I don't know why it's the Dairy Queen that's sticking with me, but it is. Let's go get some ice cream. We need it now.
I feel like we've earned it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that was a wonderful scene that had the least wonderful possible ending to it because it was just very unskillfully chopped there. So yes. And I mean, I know that the makers of TV shows don't really have a lot of control over exactly how the commercial cuts happen, you know, master control or whoever is in charge of that, but you know, maybe build a little bit more space into it or a little bit of a fade out or something because it was just boom.
Yeah.
Is there anybody or any important thing that we have not touched on yet? I feel like there wasn't a lot in terms of plot. Bolshar just did not show his face at all.
We did. Nicole revealed her.
She finally told Waverly.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And Doc did. Like there were some little bits of narrative happening because Doc also told Waverly that everyone's confessing to Waverly, but about him going to hell, which is good because I feel he needs to get that out there.
Yeah, he can't carry that around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I felt, you know, she said, you know, I'm really, really sorry about what happened to you, which that mm-hmm. felt real, but I feel like maybe it wasn't quite enough. Well, she was drunk. That's true. They've been drinking, but like,
yeah she was drunk.
So I'm
and grieving.
I'm hoping in a future episode that she will maybe revisit that and be like, hey, I know you said you're going back there, but maybe you're not. Let's think about this.
Let's have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so too.
He also wasn't excessively beating himself up for saying what he said to Dolls about both of them going to hell,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because that could be something where he could mire himself in and maybe he will in the future. But mm-hmm. it's like, I think it actually is a healthy thing because you never know mm-hmm. what your last words are going to be to someone and it might not be what you want them to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty bad ones as far as Lost
Words
go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think,
and he did apologize to Waverly too for that tense scene at the homestead. Yes. Was
smashed the glass
so good,
you know? Yeah, because it was brilliant.
She's doing the giggling, the uncontrollable giggling thing. She's, you know, for fans of Coupling, she's caught in the giggle loop. And then I can't remember exactly what she says. Unfeeling.
Yeah, she accused him of not feeling anything,
mm-hmm. or showing any emotion.
Smashed the glass.
Yep.
Which is also, that's not nice of her, like, to say either, because people are going to show their emotions in a lot of different
ways. She was giggling and he was drinking.
Mm-hmm. And silent allowed. Brooding.
Yep. And that was another scene that felt really real to me, because when you get people in a room who are processing deep grief, who process it in different ways, sometimes they do bounce off of each other like that. It's uncomfortable to watch, and it was uncomfortable to watch, but in like the best, most realistic way.
Yeah. Speaking of uncomfortable, the funeral guy who told Waverly that first of all, he did not care for White Hot, so you suck, buddy. But also, so by the way, your dad didn't buy you a family plot there, Waves.
Well, what was he supposed to do? Like, that's the case. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, like, it's important for that you know what you want to happen to you so you can tell your husbands.
Also, and husbands, like, he couldn't, I just,
yeah, I love Nicole's response to that. Partner. Was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Husbands.
Ooh.
Anyways, so not a NERP, which we already knew, but even Doc made a comment.
I think about it's, it. Yeah, I think that's just sort of like amongst their little crew. Common knowledge at this point, which is kind of nice that they're not keeping secrets from each other, unless it's like, you know, Doll's asking specifically, please keep this secret. And then of course you get the secret about Doc having a wife, which
not everybody knows,
not everybody knows that yet.
Nobody knows that yet.
Waverly
knows.
Oh, right.
Yep. And she hasn't told Wynonna. So, you know, there's always going to be secrets going around because drama and because people.
Oh, there's no show if there's no drama and nobody makes bad decisions and on TV.
Yep. And these are not the most well adjusted people in the world, which is why we love them.
Yep.
I have the feeling this is like a little reprieve though before we get into full action again. So
it just makes me feel like the shit is going to hit the fan and things are going to be kicked into a somewhat higher gear plot wise.
But I feel like this is the right pacing.
Yes.
Right? This is like, this is what we as fandom needs. Let's pause.
Let's go through it.
And then it's going to get kicked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here. All right. Anything else before we mosey?
Nope.
I think we're good.
All right. Well, until next time.
Lights out, bitch.